Our lesson for consideration this morning comes from the second chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, reading verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Here ends the reading of the text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. About 47 years ago, I worked in a hospital as an orderly on a rehabilitation floor. And I worked in the evening, so a lot of times the visitors of families would be coming. We had coming from one room, however, a groan, a series of three groans. They were deep, guttural, and then ascending to an unearthly, mournful groan, cry. It would echo, reverberate in the hallways. One of the first times I responded to the room, I went in and I said, "Tony, what's wrong?" He said, "Nothing." And I said, "Well, you just cried out." He was oblivious to it. He didn't know that he had done that. Antonio was a self-made man. He attended Catholic school in his youth. I don't believe he graduated from eighth grade. I know for sure he didn't graduate from high school. And he had achieved much in his 60 plus years, even ascending to important political offices. But now he had succumbed to a brainstem stroke, which left him paralyzed from the neck down. He was trapped. His prospects were dire, and he was soon to be going to a nursing home, no doubt to die. The threefold groans would be repeated ever so often, but they seemed over the days, I think even weeks that he was there, they seemed to subside a bit. And I had hoped they subsided because something had changed for the good within him. You see, in my care of Antonio, he learned that I was considering becoming a Lutheran pastor, and he wanted to talk about religion. In his self-reliance, as he was a self-made man, very successful, even a businessman in success, he had become an agnostic. He did not know if there was a God. But he was receptive to hearing the good news of salvation in Christ, although I never heard from him a confession of his faith in Jesus as Savior. But I determined that his groaning came from deep within his soul, which was not delivered from the fear of death, but remained enslaved to his sin. Death staring him in the face, he was fearful at the prospect of facing an unknown God and having to give an answer. All of Tony's self-made successes could not make up for even one of his sins. But you know who will answer for you. Jesus, the one who with you shares in your flesh and blood, as our text says. God sent his Son to be your holy substitute, both to live the holy life required of you, tempted as you are, but always without sin, and then to sacrifice that holy life for you in his suffering and death. And Jesus answered for Tony too, but as Jesus did for all sinners, but Tony, not trusting in the answer God provided him in his Son, was still bound in the slavery to sin and death. Christ Jesus came to defeat the devil, who holds the power of death, ever since our first parents believed his lie that surely they would not die. Johann Gerhard, a Lutheran theologian, wrote this: Christ shouts out loudly and says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," which was the final word of Christ from the cross. Christ shouted out so loudly, and his clear voice causes death to tremble, telling death that it may now step forth and carry out upon him the right and power that it usually held over the human race. With us humans, it is ordained that in death, our souls will be taken from us. At that time, the soul must leave and vacate the shelter of the body, whether it does so willingly or not. But with Christ, it is different, Gerhard points out. He, Christ, gives up his spirit, for he is not dying out of necessity or by force. Instead, he willingly endured death. It had no claim over him. As death takes him on and kills him, it thereby loses the power it had over us on account of sin. Jesus, you see, stepped into your death, my fellow redeemed, your substitute, who bore your sin, all of it, and would die your death, was confident. Death, so to speak, groaned in fear as the Lord of life dared step toward it and into it. I also like to think of the devil who holds the power of death being in Jesus' tomb on that Sabbath, shoving our Lord's sinless but lifeless body periodically to see if the stiffness of rigor mortis had set in. And it never did. All of us as Christians remain anxious about death, to be sure, but the more we grow in God's grace and our faith in Jesus is strengthened, the fear of death should be lessened, especially when we know that our eternal death, our hell, was all taken by Jesus on that cross. Gerhard also observe this during the time of Jesus suffering our hell upon the cross, during those last 3 hours of darkness before declaring it is finished. Gerhardt writes, when other saintly martyrs were led to their death, they were joyful and confident. How is it that the Son of God here shivers and is in such agony? The reason is this. At that time, he was burdened with the sin of all of mankind and with the wrath of God and agony of hell. For as Christ loaded upon himself all sin, God the Lord thus speaks to his Son in wrath and enters into judgment with him. On the cross, God looks upon his Son in wrath, and let his voice issue forth in fury, as if to say, are you the one who wants to bear all sin of mankind? Shall I summon you to judgment for everything which people have committed against my law? Do you want to pay for everything of which my honor was robbed by sin? Well then, I, as a righteous judge, must allow my wrath and punishment to be pronounced over you. I must pour out my fury and rage over you. And I lay upon you such agony as would otherwise have pressed down on the entire world. In his wrath, God truly viewed Christ as the greatest of all sinners, not on account of his own person, but because he had loaded upon himself the sin of the world. God turned his face away from Christ and set before him an entire ocean of wrath, permitting death, devil, and hell to vent all their might against this person, which they otherwise would have vented against the human race. Recently, I witnessed my 98-year-old Christian father face his death. And when he was told that soon he would be with my mother, his wife of 73 years, who died only 3 months earlier, and that both of them would be with Jesus, his simple and yet profound confession was spoken with tears streaming down his cheeks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so may our Lord be so gracious to you, so that in the face of your death, the threefold woeful groan will not unwittingly be expressed by you, but rather that you have the confidence in your Savior who shares your flesh and blood to this very day, who cried out the cry of the damned for you, who was named sinner for you and died your death for you, defeating it by rising again so that you too are able to make that threefold confession now, then, and forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.